The Green Bay Packers have been out on the scouting trail, checking out prospects at pro days across the nation. Who have they been watching? We'll find out with Eric Galco of OptimumScouting.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're going to be talking about the free agent signing of tight end Jared Cook. Breaking news just before the show. We're going to talk about that momentarily. But first, we've got a guest joining us to kick off today's show.
Expert interview.
We have Eric Galco of OptimumScouting.com. Eric, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. We're about a month away from the draft now. It's getting exciting now.
Yes. We're glad to have you on the show. Been pretty much on an annual basis here. We've had you on two or three years now. And kind of a theme for today's interview, we brought Eric on and going to talk about some of the prospects the Green Bay Packers sent to see at the pro days over the past week or so. And Eric, let's kick things off with Mizzou. And one of the big prospects there was linebacker Kentrell Brothers. Tell me, Eric, he's kind of thought of as, maybe a second-tier linebacker behind the Miles Jacks and the Reggie Raglins, but is he at the top of that second tier?
Yeah, I think he might be. I think teams have to overcome the fact that he's an undersized linebacker. He might be best on the interior in the NFL level. He's right on that six-foot level and a guy who's thickly built and explosive but not necessarily has great range or great arm length to kind of finish outside the box as a tackler, but I think as a 3-4 speedy inside linebacker with some coverage upside, that's kind of his real value. And in a draft class where even for 3-4 inside linebacker, who should be a little more versatile, not a whole lot of talent there in this draft class. After Raglin, like you mentioned, Jalen Smith has his injury question marks. Not a lot of guys I really trust on the inside of a 3-4 inside linebacker spot in this class. I mean, Brothers is right there. So as far as will he go in the draft process, it's tough to say on how teams will actually evaluate kind of his lack of great height or length, but at the end of the day, I take him someplace in the late second to early fourth round area. That kind of range is where he's best at.
Kind of interesting with the Packers having a pick near the end of the second round, wondering whether they could address that need right there. Packers also at the Texas Pro Day this past week, Eric. One of the stars of the event there was defensive lineman Hassan Ridgeway. Tell me, what type of defensive lineman is Ridgeway? Is he capable of playing nose tackle? Clue me in.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the main guy there, probably the only guy there in Texas. It's amazing to believe that team might have one draft pick only this year, and that's Ridgeway. Ridgeway's a guy who cleared early and got a lot of athletic upside and a lot of room to work. He was a highly talented prospect coming in and really didn't find his place in that defense to kind of grow in any one direction. I think his length is certainly attestable to a five technique spot, but he can play some three technique. He can play some defensive end in that sense too. He's kind of one of those second tier guys who the first round guys like Vernon Butler of Louisiana Tech and Chris Jones of Mississippi State have awesome five technique upside. Ridgeway has similar upside, but it may be a bit more of a project than those guys. You're not quite sure what the path is yet for Ridgeway, but I think he's a talent certainly worth developing. Can play away from his frame very well, moves laterally. I think he's going to get better when he is engaged, getting upfield and using his core strength and building that core strength to kind of work through blocks in the interior, but kind of in space as a mobile interior defensive player and a five technique, I think he has a lot of upside to work with.
Another place the Packers were at this past week was the University of Florida, and unlike Texas, it's a place with a lot of prospects, so we're going to go through a few of them. Eric, let's start with defensive lineman Jonathan Bullard. Can Bullard fit into a 3-4 defense as a 5 technique?
I think absolutely, and his lack of perceived length and bulk is going to be a question mark for some teams as far as how high he'll go, but extremely active, extremely powerful, bends really well at his knees and violently upheld offensive tackles and offensive guards at a high level. I think the five technique may be his best spot. He's not a guy I want there on a consistent basis and kind of utilizing him in the run game, but I think if you want an interior disruptor, especially that five technique spot, especially if that kind of weak side five technique spot, we're looking at guys who can eat up two gaps with activeness. I think he's kind of that born China shop player as a five technique. That being said, I'm not sure he's a starter, so I don't think he'd be necessarily viewed as a first-round pick, maybe not even a second-round pick for a team like the Packers. Maybe needs a plug-and-play starter, but I think if he's their third round or they want to find just more depth in the position and find a guy who can contribute immediately in some role, I think Bullard's that kind of guy.
We talked about Kentrell Brothers before. Another linebacker in this year's draft class, Antonio Morrison out of Florida. Where is he at health-wise? Because I know he had some injury issues there, and you can kind of tell me more about him, but I find that interesting as maybe we don't know where he's at, really.
And he's had some injuries in the past, and they're big knee injuries, too, so it's not going to be something you can kind of brush under the table. It's going to be something that's going to be a long-term question mark for him down the road. But you watch him on film, just the activeness, the explosiveness, the consistency, the motor, all those intangible things you covet in a linebacker prospect, that's what he has. So he has the injury history, he has a lack of length, similar to Brothers, and not a guy you want to trust on the perimeter as a weak side guy playing in space or even coveraging a tight end in that aspect as well. But I think his activeness, his same idea of playing hard every single play and finishing on the interior, engaging the offensive lineman on the interior, not afraid to play with contact, not afraid to finish against bigger running backs, all those things kind of make you really want him. As high as he'll go, I think the third round is probably at his peak just because he isn't a top-flight athlete, has the injury question marks, has the length question marks, all those things. But as far as a pure football player and a guy who says the coordinators will certainly advocate for on draft day, I think the third round is probably where he goes for a team that's trusting of the injury question marks and wants to get a guy like him on the football field.
We're talking to Eric Galco of OptimumScouting.com here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Eric, moving to the offensive side of the football, but still at Florida, here's another player that didn't do much at the combine, tight end Jake McGee. And then he did work out at his pro day. Where's his stock after choosing to wait until his pro day to work out?
Yeah, overall, it's not a great tight end class, which I think helps Jake McGee because he's not a true inline tight end at the NFL level. He's more of an H-back guy who could do a little bit of blocking at the second level, but not a guy you want to trust against defensive ends inline. I think his ability to kind of work in the seam, work on the perimeter as a move tight end and even a slot presence is valuable, maybe with some fullback and H-back in that sense, too. I think he's more of a versatile number two or even number three tight end at the NFL level, with his best case being kind of a less athletic Jordan Reed. Maybe that's a little optimistic for him, though. So I think he's a solid athlete, nothing special in that sense, too, but a reliable pass catcher. Like I said, can work on the perimeter as an outside route runner, can work in the seam a little bit. Not a guy you want to trust against more physical linebackers and more refined safeties or three safety looks. But I think in a pure defense, if he can be a number two guy, number three guy, and kind of use him situationally, that's where he has value as far as a day three tight end.
Sticking with tight ends, but moving on to Iowa, who held their pro day last week and not too far of a drive for the Green Bay Packers, bordering the state of Wisconsin. I'm curious about Henry Krieger Coble, because he was a guy that was invited to the Senior Bowl, but not the NFL Combine. Is he not that good, or how can we analyze him?
Yeah, it's certainly an oddity there. We're going about the Senior Bowl. You're one of the top 64, 70, 75 seniors in the class, but not one of the top 300 players in the whole combine process is interesting. But I think the question mark with him is that he's a one-year starter and a guy who hasn't really defined himself in any area as a tight end. He's flashed as a blocker and has that length to do so, but not an overly powerful blocker and a guy who has a lot of trouble with his hand placement. I think as a pass catcher, he could certainly win away from his frame and flash his great hand, but double catches sometimes and doesn't finish against more refined coverage guys or stronger linebackers and safeties who can really kind of get underneath them and dislodge his route a little bit. So I think he's a very raw tight end prospect with a lot to develop. But the question mark is, what's his athletic upside? Is it worth kind of tapping into to get to that high ceiling? What is that high ceiling? Is it high enough to be an NFL starter, or will it always kind of be a guy who's a bit out of position at tight end or a slot presence as well? So I think he's a plus talent guy to work with and develop. But I think as a day three pick is where you kind of feel best about him, maybe not even a draft pick, depending on how his team's feel about his development. But the one-year starter aspect certainly hurts his kind of upside and how teams feel he can contribute early on.
One final guy to go over here, Eric, and yet another tight end, maybe appropriately on the day the Packers sign a free agent tight end, but going out to Montana State, where the Packers had a representative at their pro day, tight end Bo Sandland. I don't know much about him, Eric. Tell me about him.
Yeah, he's a former junior college guy, went to Miami of Florida to kind of be their next great tight end, but didn't feel like being that far away from home from the West Coast, and ended up at Montana State to kind of be their guy and be their future tight end. And he's still raw, I think, as a route runner, but what you love about him is that his frame, his physicality, his arm length is tremendous, and his ability to fend away from his body is what you're looking for in a seam tight end. So I think there's going to be question marks as far as can he adapt to the NFL level from the FCS level. Didn't play a lot at Miami, only had a handful of receptions there, I believe, during his tenure there. So it's going to be a bit of a transition going from basically junior college and 1 year at the FCS level to the NFL level. But the talent's there, the arm length's there, the film that wanted Miami for him to come there is certainly on tap for teams, and teams understand his promise as a tight end as well. But I think the seam stretching ability, the length and the arm talent, what teams are covering right now, kind of be a Joseph Fourier, what he did for the Detroit Lions his rookie year. He could be maybe a little bit of that with the more upside as a blocker and overall tight end. So I think the potential and talent are there. I think anything more than a mid-day free pick is a reach for him because he's not going to contribute early on. But again, it's a relatively weak tight end class, only about five guys at most that teams really like as top three round picks. I think Sandler's a guy on day three, teams might take a flyer on to hope he becomes one of those top five or six guys in this draft class when it's all said and done.
Very good, Eric. Thank you so much for joining us. You're a wealth of knowledge here, telling us not only about the first round guys, but guys who expected to be day three draft picks, maybe undrafted free agents. We definitely appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, and we'll do it again next year.
My pleasure, Brian. Thanks again.
Take care. Eric Gelko of Optimum Scouting joining us here on a Monday morning at Railbird Central. On a busy day here, and thanks to Eric for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
Big news breaking Monday morning, bright and early. The Packers have signed an actual free agent. Apparently, that's reportedly. The Packers have not confirmed it. The NFL has not confirmed it. So we're still waiting on official word. But from all signs and appearances, the Packers have signed free agent tight end Jared Cook. This has been a long time coming, something we've certainly talked about on this show before, because he actually made a free agent visit. I think it was 2 weeks to the day. So 2 weeks ago, this past Monday, that the Jared Cook actually visited Green Bay for the first time. Mike McCarthy at the NFL owners meeting actually talked about, you know, meeting with him, being impressed by him. Took a long time to get the deal done. Waiting 2 weeks. Most of the time, deals get done before a guy even leaves town. Not the case here, so kind of bucks that trend. But the Packers finally getting help at the tight end position, an obvious need for the Green Bay Packers here. And I like the signing. I love it, to tell you the truth. I suppose depending on the numbers, and we're still waiting on that. Again, this is a developing situation here. Broken just minutes before we go on air, the report that Cook has or is signing with the Green Bay Packers apparently is actually in Green Bay to sign the contract, presumably. I'm not sure if that, you know, sometimes these guys even fax the contracts in, but apparently Cook is in Green Bay during a time of year where there's really nothing going on. There's no practice going on, but you can understand he'd be excited to join the organization and sign the contract and meet some of his teammates and employers or, you know, coaches, things like that. Probably getting a playbook, perhaps, if they're allowed to do that at this time of year. Not sure how much they're allowed to do because they can't practice or anything. So there's only limited contact you can have. Now, certainly they can talk and you know, do certain things, but can't really practice or anything like that, get out on a field quite yet. That happens during the month of April where they start up with that. So not too far away. We're getting to that point. I know I saw a report here, and originally this was broken, to my knowledge, by Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. And I've seen several different reports here from different reporters that cover the NFL. And here's one from Rand Getlin, also of NFL.com, I believe. Four NFC teams, and he wrote this on Twitter here, quote, four NFC teams competed for Jared Cook's services since the beginning of the tampering period. Well, the legal tampering period. The Falcons, the Panthers, the Bears, and the Packers. So the Packers actually winning out on this. Whether they outbid those other teams is kind of remains to be seen. I mean, it's been, you know, over 2 weeks since the start of free agency here. So, you know, it's not as if Cook was about to get some huge multi-million. I mean, I'm sure it's multi-millions of dollars, but not, you know, we're not talking the big, you know, big ticket contract like Malik Jackson got in free agency or Brock Osweiler got in free agency. This is going to end up being a little bit more modest. Exactly how many years, exactly how many millions of dollars he got, how much of that is guaranteed. We're still waiting on that. I'm very interested in finding out. I assume it's got to be a multi-year deal. I think this has got to be, if there was four teams involved, it's not as if the Packers could have gave them a one-year deal and that's it. I think we're looking at least 2 or 3 years here. But you're wondering, is it anything more than $2 to $3 million? Not sure if the Packers had to, you know, up the ante to beat out these other teams in terms of that, or, you know, it simply could be a case where Cook looked at his other options out there, looked at, you know, the teams that were interested in him, the Falcons, the Bears, and be like, well, you know, Green Bay might be the best fit. Maybe I'll take a little less money to work with a Pro Bowl quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. That is, I know people who are excited about this signing or excited about Jared Cook. That's kind of like the biggest thing, as they always say. You know, he's never really worked with a top flight tight, you know, quarterback during his time with Los Angeles or, you know, not the St. Louis Rams. And formerly the Tennessee Titans before that, you know, we worked with Sam Bradford, several others, but, you know, none of these guys considered a top even 10 quarterback in the NFL. Maybe at one point that was kind of Sam Bradford kind of thought he could be, but, it never really worked out that way. So, you know, there's lots of risk here. I wouldn't say a lot of risk. I mean, there's things to be concerned about as well. Certainly, I think it's well documented by now. Jared Cook does not have the best pair of hands. He's got some of the most drops in the entire NFL from the tight end position. As far as tight ends go, he's got more drops than any other player, I think, this past season. So that's, you know, that's not what you want to hear exactly, but I mean, perhaps it does balance out a little bit that the Packers have perhaps the other tight end who's already on the roster is known as the guy who has maybe the best hands in the league at the tight end position, Richard Rodgers. And there's many ways in which I think these two are going to complement each other very nicely. There's lots of things Richard Rodgers does well. I've gone through these before. He's got a great set of hands. He's able to find holes in zone coverage, particularly in the red zone. That's where his value is. And Cook is going to be more the guy who's going to stretch the field as a tight end, who's going to be that vertical threat over the middle of the field, between the hashes. And he's going to go, he's a taller guy. He's 6'5", and he's going to go up over, you know, shorter defensive backs, safeties. That's the kind of guy you're going to get with Jared Cook, and I think can be a dangerous part of the Packers' offense. Not going to be a guy who's going to catch 80 balls for the Green Bay Packers. If that's your expectations, start to temper them. You know, that's, I don't think that's going to happen, but he can be a nice complementary piece of this Packers' offense, and he can be an upgrade over what the Packers had at the tight end position last year in terms of the number two tight end. I mean, you've got Richard Rodgers. He was around last year. He's going to be around this year. But, you know, the guy that they may pass on could be a guy like Andrew Corliss. That's where the upgrade is here with Jared Cook. You know, when you compare him to Andrew Corliss is a guy who's, you know, dealt with injuries throughout his career, had some off-field issues. Jared Cook, if he could just be an upgrade over that, I think he's going to provide that, especially from a receiving aspect and terms of, even just the threat of him running down the field. I think defenses have to honor that. They have to respect that. And that's going to open up things for Aaron Rodgers elsewhere, whether it's to Richard Rodgers and probably more so to guys like a healthy Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and the rest of the wide receiver core, whoever kind of busts out there, whether it's Davante Adams or Ty Montgomery or whoever. You know, that's the teams are going to focus on Jared Cook running down the middle, and that, you know, that's going to open up the hole for a Ty Montgomery to break out this year, perhaps. Or anyone, Jeff Janis, Jared Aberderis. It's going to help this Green Bay Packers offense, I think. Hopefully there's, you know, the drops are minimized. And, you know, he's also kind of known as an average blocker, I guess, or an inconsistent blocker. I think the good thing is he's got nice size, 6'5", 250-ish pounds, Jared Cook is. I think that's good. You know, if you're going to line him up on the line of scrimmage and run the ball, I think, you know, that's, there's good size there as far as the tight end position goes. You're getting a guy, like I said, who's been considered inconsistent in that aspect of the game. But again, maybe he's going to be a little more motivated by playing on a good team, a contending team, a team that, you know, makes the playoffs year in and year out. And so I think that's what Jared Cook offers the Green Bay Packers here. And, just interesting, the Packers become the 32nd and last NFL team to add a free agent from outside the organization whose contract has expired. Every other team had added a free agent at some point out there, and the Packers obviously, you know, don't get really too much involved in that. And, you know, one of the reasons they did also here is, of course, we've talked about this before, Cook was released by the Los Angeles Rams, which means he will not count toward the compensatory draft pick equation, which I think is great. The Packers don't have to sacrifice. They've got a pick coming because they lost Casey Hayward, and now they don't have to sacrifice that because they signed Jared Cook. You know, they get to keep that draft pick, assuming they don't, you know, sign anybody else here, any other unrestricted free agents. And I'm telling you, by now, there's not too many more out there, big ticket free agents at least. I mean, we were getting to the point where Jared Cook might have been considered kind of the top free agent on the market because so many guys had landed elsewhere. There's certainly free agents out there yet, including many of the Packers' own they haven't signed, like linebacker Mike Neal and fullback John Kuhn and offensive lineman Don Barclay. And you're going to start to see these guys sign, you know, soon, you know, maybe even by the end of the week here. But Cook was, you know, among the best left on the market. And once again, I mean, my analysis, I like it for the Green Bay Packers, assuming they didn't have to break the bank. Coming into the day, they had about $13 million in cap room. And, you know, I don't know if he gets a deal averaging $3 million a year. And again, it depends how it's structured, which I don't exactly know yet. And maybe we're not going to know the exact breakdown for a couple days yet, perhaps. But let's assume $3 million a year. That would still leave the Packers with $10 million in cap room. Yet you need $5 million for that, for the rookie class, you know, after the top 51 is over, roughly. And again, it can always change depending on, you know, who ends up getting cut from the rookie class. If they don't keep them all, they don't keep every single one of them. You know, they'll end up cutting a few of them or putting them on the practice squad. So there's a lot of different factors at play here that it's hard to look into the crystal ball and see all of them at this point and see how all the jigsaw puzzles pieces, you know, fit together. But Jared Cook's a big piece, though, a big piece of the puzzle for this team. And it'll be interesting to see how he fits in because the Packers don't add many from outside the organization. And this is a notable one, the most notable one. you know, arguably the biggest free agent signing since Julius Peppers 2 years ago, because the Packers didn't really do anything in free agency last year. You know, who'd they signed the punter that never ended up making it at all. That was kind of the biggest, you know, free agent signing last year, giving a punter a chance and didn't end up coming, you know, to fruition anyway, or didn't make the 53-man roster. So this is going to be a more notable signing than that, with Cook coming to Green Bay. So be interesting to see, you know, the fallout from this and in terms of, you know, the news that happens over the course of the next week or even the rest of the offseason here, to see how he's fitting in. And we only have to wait a few weeks here until the Packers get back to practice and get back on the field and see how the 2016 edition of the team is coming together. So that's pretty much the big and only news since at least our last episode of Railbird Central on Friday, you know, over the Easter holiday weekend. Of course, there wasn't a whole lot going on, but that kind of leads us into our next segment.
The day ahead.
I mean, obviously here we're waiting for contract deals. I think that's the biggest thing, you know, in the wake of the Jared Cook signing. That's what we're waiting on next, is to find out things like that. And but I mean, if we're not talking, I mean, I don't know when that's going to come out. Could come out today. Could already be out. If I missed it on Twitter, some of the contract details, I apologize. Like I said, this is a developing story. But the things we know are going to happen today: Packers scouts getting out and about, you know, easing back into work after the Easter holiday. You know, there were no pro days over the weekend, of course, on Sunday, even the day before that. But they start again as early as today, as early as Monday. Kind of the headliner is University of Mississippi today. There's only four, you know, pro day workouts across the nation today. This is kind of the biggest university, an SEC program, with, you know, several notable prospects there, like defensive lineman Robert Kempdiche, wide receiver Laquan Treadwell. So some interesting guys to keep a name on there. But other pro days being held on Monday include those at South Alabama, Stony Brook, and California Davis. Obviously smaller schools, but you never know when you can find a diamond in the rough. So that's kind of what we know in the world of the Green Bay Packers is happening on Monday. And we wait for the unknown in terms of when this contract detail is going to come out. You know, the exact nature of it, the year-by-year breakdown, the guaranteed money, all those kind of things. We wait to find out next. So I'm sure we'll continue this discussion to an extent on our next episode of Railbird Central on Wednesday. Interested, well, already got a guest lined up, former NFL player Lamar Campbell, former Detroit Lions, so going to talk to a Packers division rival, and he's got some interesting things to say about life after the game of football. So excited about that on Wednesday. And I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about the Jared Cook signing too. Who knows, maybe even a couple more free agent signings for the Green Bay Packers. Probably more likely to be their own players, like a John Kuhn signing. But we'll see. We'll see what happens, what breaks, what news breaks between now and then. But for today, that'll do it. Thank you to Eric Galco of Optimum Scouting for talking a little bit of NFL draft here on a Monday morning. 8:30 a.m. Central Time, live edition of the show. New shows every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action is always, as usual, if you've not done so already, we'd greatly appreciate it if you would give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid and give us a rating and a review, we'd greatly, greatly appreciate it. And that'll do it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. We'll see you Wednesday. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go, Pack, go.